1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 5, 18, and 19, the pastoral epistle, says this: "But the goal of our instruction is to teach unconditional love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. This command I, Paul, entrust to you, Timothy, my son, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you fight the good fight, keeping the faith and a good conscience, which some pastors have rejected and suffer shipwreck in regard to their faith." Imagine your best self. The truth of the Word of God is chipping away at the impurities we have adopted, which we think are valuable, so that God can make us into our best selves. He is a magnificent sculptor, and He will succeed. And our study of the Bible is the chisel that chips away any thinking that is not in line with our best selves. We merely stay the course to avoid the shipwreck of living the old self life with our bodies with a new self mentality. Faith in God produces a good conscience, the ability to discern what works from what does not work, and we do those things that work. The Word of God refers to Bible study as a time of renewing, a great time to let the Word of God increase your faith. Titus chapter 3, verse 5 says, "The Lord Jesus Christ delivered us, first by the washing of regeneration, we are born again, and through renewing by God the Holy Spirit." The Holy Spirit restores us, renews us with a new thinking that gives us the strength to endure. So welcome to a place where you can in humility receive the Word implanted, which is able to save your souls. As God prepares you for this renewing of your mind, let's hear June Murphy worship our Lord in song as you think about how much the Lord loves you. The opening song is "The Essence of God."
In faithfulness.
one forevermore. Huh? You threw a little twist in there. That's pretty good. I like that. Let us pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Help us to see your hand in every successful relationship. Help us to see your absence as the ruination of every relationship. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Rory Clark. My spiritual gift is pastor-teacher, a gift given to me by God for the purpose of equipping you believers in Christ for the work of service. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We often turn to others to get what only God can give us, an unconditional love that is intense and personal and passionate. Today's study, unconditional love is the savior of relationships, pun intended. Unconditional love is the savior of relationships. First, a few announcements. Mark your calendars. The next celebration of the Lord's Supper is June 9th. That's next week. Next, the homecoming for the soon-to-be resident congregation of Barah Ministries is June 15th and 16th. That's 2 weeks away. We're really looking forward to having the people who worship with us but who do not live in this locality to come together with us. And I fully expect that those of you who are part of Barah Ministries will make time in your schedule to be involved in those situations. You should really, you know, this is the unity of the faith. The body of Christ, people who are choosing to worship together. And this is a time that was specifically designated to honor those people who are coming here who are from other locations. And I expect that those of you in the resident congregation will want to meet them and want to worship with them. And I expect you to make time for it. Mark your calendars for these no face-to-face Bible study situations, June 30th, August 25th, September 1st, December 8th, December 29th. Happy birthday to Tony LaGrasso. Yesterday was his birthday. He is 47 years old. His bone marrow transplant happened August 14th of last year, so that's almost a year old. I said it had happened around this time. And yesterday he celebrated his birthday by running a 10K race in Royal Oaks, Michigan. So that's pretty good. Bone marrow transplant, and I ain't running nobody 10K. You feeling me on that? So I'm proud of the boy. He got a T-shirt and everything. It's also, today is his wife Jennifer's birthday, so let's wish her a happy birthday as well. So that's, you know. See, I got to believe from that situation that Tony is forgetful, right? So that God said, no, I'm going to give him a lady. He can't forget her birthday, and then just line them up day after each other. Also, Norbert Baird is celebrating a birthday on June 5th, so let's wish Norbert a happy birthday. And then one of my favorite people of all time, Monica Miller, is having a birthday coming up on June 7th. You can be a little enthusiastic about it. That's Monica. That's Coeur d'Alene Conference. Barah Ministries on Pal Talk every day of the week, Monday through Friday at 7 p.m. Central. Tuning into the lessons is easy to do. Here is the process. You sign on to paltalk.com. Then you download the software, choose a nickname, sign into the Royal Family Room, and listen. How many of you have done that? Show of hands. Oh, that's excellent. So thank you very much for supporting Deacon Larry Collins and his wife Pat by signing into that. So should I just stop making this announcement then? Is that it? Or do you want to just sign in and find out a new way to use technology and to hear the Word of God? Could you just do me that favor?
I tried signing in, but I couldn't find out.
Yeah, but you can do it when you're not at work.
You said it happens every day at 5.
Yeah, but you can sign in even though you're not at work. Right? So, like, you can go home right after this and sign in.
Oh.
Right? And then you can be ready to listen to it at work. What time do you get off from work? Okay, so at 5:15, you can tune in.
I'm in a car on my
You got a smartphone?
No.
Oh, okay. All right, so next week at this time, we will have a couple of... Yeah, we got a lot of technologically challenged people in Barah Ministries who don't understand all about smartphones. Right, Jenny? Amen? I was with Jenny. We had a meeting and my phone going off. She said, "What is that?" "Jenny, this is called a smartphone." She pulls out her Motorola flip phone from 1910, right? It was awesome. No, it's not quite that far back. Don't even start with me, Mike. Mike has got an ear thing that he has on the golf course. And he's pretending like he's technologically savvy. He's got the earpiece, man. Come on, y'all. Let's go. Was that encouraging? You couldn't find the room? Yeah, so ask Larry to send you an invitation, because that becomes a really quick and easy thing. All right, next, the offering. Let's welcome up Deacon Elliot Clark. I don't care.
You know, what's funny is that Pastor said we have a lot of technologically slow people. He uses paper, and I am using my handy-dandy iPad. So, just got to practice what we preach here, you know. So, God provides by adoption through his grace. I had to get him back for calling me Denny. God provides Bible action through his grace, and we hope to reflect his grace. Barah Ministries is a grace ministry and functions entirely on generous donations. There's no charge for the Bible action here at BarahMinistries.com, which allows anyone, anywhere, to freely receive of the Word of God. Gratitude for the Word of God inspires believers to give of their time, talent, and treasure. So last week I gave you all an assignment, which was to describe yourself as a Christian. And hopefully that wasn't too much of a beat-up session for you. But I asked you to come back the next day and to describe yourself as a Christian from God's point of view and to answer it with nothing but Bible verses. And so I did this, and in my description of myself the first time through, it wasn't all that negative, but a common thread throughout was that I wasn't doing enough as a Christian. And in my response to myself the next day, I referenced a verse, Colossians 3:23-24. And that says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance. It is the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve." I realized in my own self-analysis that in doing things for men, that I'll always feel like I'm not doing enough, that I'll always feel like I'm not giving enough, that I'll always see my inadequacies, that I'll always see the void in my life, and I'll see where I lack, where the void exists. And I feel that way because the truth is I'm not doing enough. And the truth is that by ourselves, we don't do enough. We don't give enough. We are inadequate. There is a void in our life, and that's exactly how God wants it. Because if we did give enough, if we did do enough, then we wouldn't need each other. God does not expect us by ourselves to do everything. God does not expect us to give by ourselves. God expects everyone to give together. And when I start looking at things from that perspective, when I started looking at things from the perspective of what I do as unto the Lord is good enough, and coupled with what you do as unto the Lord is enough. He takes those things together and creates a synergistic effect for the body of Christ. You know, like if you stubbed your toe, then you would notice how much the toe actually does. And it's amazing how God's response to us and God's perspective changes us. So after I answered myself and God's response, and from God's perspective, I went out that night and I played some mini golf with my dad and defeated him on a very clutch, very Tiger Woods-esque hole in one on the last hole with him talking smack in my ear. And the best part is that I did it as unto the Lord. So remember as you give, thank you. Remember as you give to do what you can and to do your best as unto the Lord. And together, we're going to be enough. Thank you.
Is that As the Deer? Yeah, it is. Welcome back. So, Deacon Caleb, you're up next week for the offering. I will not have my pulpit used for bragamonies and for disparaging of the pastor by this former teenage cretin who has now become a deacon. The Holy One, that was the luckiest shot. He had his eyes closed. This is the luckiest shot I ever saw in my entire life. You know, have you guys ever played miniature golf? That is the stupidest game on the earth. Hitting balls in clown mouths, doors opening and closing, banging your balls, big log, knocking your balls everywhere. That's crazy. Still shot a 52. That's amazing. So he shot a 50. Unbelievable. Hole in one. Clutch. Today's study, unconditional love is the savior of relationships. Unconditional love is the savior of relationships. So we continue our study of the Creator. Who is the Creator? Our Creator is Jesus Christ. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our God. Turn in your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Who is the Creator? He is our Lord, our Savior, and our God. Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 3. Here's what it says. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who desires all men to be saved, and who desires for all men to come to the knowledge of the truth. Knowledge of the truth believed. 1 Timothy 2, 5. For there is one God and one mediator also between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, the testimony given at the proper time. That's who our God is, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who ransomed himself for us, the one who wants us to be saved, the one who wants us to know the truth, the one who wants everything phenomenally positive for us in our lives. And we're studying an aspect of our Creator's essence called unconditional love. TikTok, what time is it on the Creator clock? It is 1 Corinthians 13 o'clock on the Creator clock. Here's what it says. Now faith, hope, and love abide in the sphere of these three, but the greatest of these is unconditional love. How are your relationships working? Human history exists because of a divorce, a failed relationship between the Lord Jesus Christ and his bodyguard, Satan. And I have watched Christians go through divorce, and I have gone through one myself. And it is interesting to watch them use the entire Bible against themselves as they go through a divorce. But it's not just in divorce that we use the entire Bible against ourselves. We use the entire Bible against ourselves in any matter. We're always thinking that somehow God is looking down on us and frowning on us, and that we're disappointing him. Like things that are happening in our life, he didn't know about them, and we need to negotiate with him about them, when a billion years ago he knew everything that would ever happen in our lives and made perfect provision for every one of them. And so I see Christians going through divorce using the Bible against themselves. And most Christians that I have seen contemplate a divorce or go through a divorce want to know where exactly it is in the Bible that says it's okay with God if we divorce. Pastor, where are the verses that let me off the hook? Where are the verses that say it's not my fault? Where are the verses that say I have the right of remarriage? Where are the verses that I say I get a free pass? Well, for many Christians, the first time they think about applying the Word of God to marriage is when they're getting a divorce. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15. I'm going through a divorce. Does God hate me? Is he disappointed with me? I've sinned. Does God hate me? Is he disappointed with me? Does that sound like unconditional love to you? Does it?
No.
Some of y'all, I didn't hear you.
No.
All right, Hebrews 4:15 says this, "We do not have a high priest in our Lord Jesus Christ who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one, a high priest in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has been tempted in all things just as we are, yet without sin." There is nothing that, no offer that Satan makes that hasn't been made to the Lord Jesus Christ. So he understands exactly what you're going through all the time. Hebrews 4:16. "Therefore, because he understands us, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." When relationships hurt, we need to move toward the Savior of relationships, the Lord Jesus Christ. Yet we do the exact opposite. We move away. We think that when we do something stupid that he's disappointed with us, so we move away from him as opposed to toward him. At that moment when you've done the stupidest thing that you think you have ever done, you ought to be right under his feet at that moment. Because we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, one who has been tempted in all things. And I think that a lot of the reason that we don't have prosperity in our lives is because when adversity is there, we go away from God. But what if we went toward him? What if we drew near to the throne of grace in those times? What do you think he's going to do? I'll tell you what you think he's going to do. You think he's going to do what you do when somebody fouls you and they come back to you. What do? Well, you got to earn your way back. That's the way we treat our relationships. That's the way we treat significant relationships. You got to earn your way back. You got to prove yourself to me. And that's a relationship? What is that? Is that what Colossians is talking about? Put on a heart of compassion? Is that what it is? Christians don't have conduct that they have to live up to in this new self-life? That's how we treat the relationships we care about. Do you know how many people that I hear about that have relationships with children that are broken and they think that's perfectly okay? Christians. But do you think that God looks at relationships like that? If a relationship between you and God is broken, do you think he's sitting there with his arms folded? I'm not making a move. Is that the way our God handles it? I don't think so. And if you think it is the way he handles it, you better go look at the prodigal son. Because a verse is coming to mind in my head right now, which is when the prodigal son went off and blew his whole inheritance and decided that he was going to come back to his dad, while he was still a far way off, his dad ran to him. I think that's what it says. See, being a Christian means that we have to step up in the matter of relationships. And you know what step up means? It doesn't mean get a little better. It means completely abandon the position you hold right now and adopt a completely new position in the matter of relationships. Because if you want to know why relationships are broken in your life, the first place you better go is to a mirror. And that is not the first place we go to in our head. The first place we go to in our head is, well, if they would just. No. It's not if they would just. It's if you would just. When relationships hurt, we have to draw near to the Savior of relationships. I can remember, and by the way, you know what that means? It means we don't have anything inside of us that is interested in fixing a relationship. except God the Holy Spirit, the one who teaches us to love unconditionally. If you're a believer in Christ, you're indwelled by God the Holy Spirit. He wants to fix all relationships. There is nothing in your old self that wants to fix anything in the matter of a relationship. So who are you listening to? You listen to the Holy Spirit and your new self, or you listen to the old self? I can remember back in my religious days, as a Roman Catholic, that people who were going through a divorce would say, "What would Jesus know about marriage? He was never married. He can't understand me." Oh, yes, he can. From the Creator's point of view, from our Lord Jesus Christ's point of view, every relationship he is in is a marriage. The Creator, the creature, marriage. Believer, creator, unbeliever, marriage. Creator, believer, marriage. So what does that mean? He has had trillions of marriages and gazillions of broken relationships. Yes, our Lord Jesus Christ understands relationships very well. And here's what he understands. He understands that relationships have elements. What are the elements of relationship? Freedom, giving, forgiving, unconditional love. Freedom, giving, forgiving, unconditional love. Relationships are built on a foundation of unconditional love, which is the key element in successful relationships. Unconditional love is the savior of relationships. Pun intended. Think about it. The reason that we are alive is because the Lord Jesus Christ values a creature who has totally rejected him and who will never see him as he is ever again. Let me repeat that. The reason we are alive is because the Lord Jesus Christ values a creature, Satan, who has totally rejected him, who has led every one of his creatures to turn on him, who will never see him as he is again, a creature that he gave everything to. And yet that creature is always going to describe him in a way that says he is unfair and he is unloving. You got any relationships like that? You got any relationships where no matter what you do with the person, no matter how many times you bend over backwards for the person, no matter how many times you put yourself on the line for the person, no matter how many times you love, no matter how many times you go to that person when there's a breach that they committed, no matter how many times that happens, that the result is always the same and they will describe you in the wrong way as a person who's unfair and unloving? You have any relationships like that? You can see from my passion that I have a few relationships like that in my life. Amen? You got any like that? And I don't mind. I don't mind loving someone that much. Do you? I don't mind. You should see your faces. What's wrong with him? He didn't take his medication this morning. I did too. Without unconditional love, relationships die. Without unconditional love, relationships fail. No one can live up to your expectations of perfection in a relationship. I always laugh when people want to leave a marriage when cheating is involved. It's as if the person who is the victim of the indiscretion somehow believed that they married a person who would be perfect. Or when lying happens. I hate it when you lie to me. Who of us doesn't hate it when somebody lies to us? Yet, do you think you're going to be in a relationship with a person in this lifetime who doesn't lie to you? Never, not ever, will you ever be in a relationship with a person who doesn't lie to you. Ever. And if they say they wouldn't lie to you, what did they just do? They lied. Because everybody that you're in a relationship has or will or is now lying to you about something. I don't think that's a point for discouragement. I think it's a point for eliminating the fantasy that somehow you're going to get into a relationship with a perfect person. And let's face it, there are Christians walking around right this minute, many of them in this room, who are walking around with that fantasy in their head that they're going to be in a relationship with a perfect person. So I always laugh when everybody wants to abandon ship when cheating happened. He cheated on me. She cheated on me. What were you expecting when you went into the relationship? Honestly, what were you expecting when you went into the relationship with a human being? What were you expecting? Perfection from imperfect people? And there are people walking around with that very fantasy right now. They're looking to get in a relationship. Oot, 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 oot. And they're looking for the perfect person. My right man. That man that God intended. ChristianMingle.com. Get the match that God intended for you. Amen. ChristianMingle.com. The perfect man. If God sends you somebody, he ain't sending you not, but nobody perfect. He's going to send somebody who knows exactly how to mash your buttons 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that you can grow, and after you suffer for a little while, he will strengthen, confirm, perfect, and establish you. Amen. 1 Peter 5:10. Oh, yeah. That's who God sent you, but you didn't expect it. You know why? Because you believe Grimm. Who is Grimm? The fairy tale guy. Grimm's fairy tales. You believe Grimm's fairy tales. Today, all over this world, there are about 900,000 marriages going on with some woman running some grim fairy tale of the perfect situation, and everything's got to be right on the tables. Much more concerned with the wedding than the marriage to this very imperfect person. And the greatest thing about it is the ass kicking starts right after the ceremony. Amen? You ain't laughing because that was funny. You're laughing because you felt it, amen? Because we all have felt it. You want me to tell my story, amen? You want me to tell you about the first 2 weeks of my marriage, amen? No, you don't want me to tell you. I could tell you offline. I don't want to hurt nobody's feelings. What are we expecting? Did you actually think you were marrying a perfect person? Do you actually think that you're going to be in a relationship with a perfect person? Do you actually think that when you leave that quite imperfect person that you're going to go to the next person and they're going to be, quote unquote, so much better? They're no better. They're worse most of the time. But by that point, you're so you've given up so much that you say, I don't care. Whatever they got, I'm taking it. I'm just taking it. This is home. This is home for me. I don't care what you're like. This is home for me. Amen? And that's when I think we really start getting it. We really start getting it that, yeah, I know you're imperfect, and I know what all your imperfections are, and this is home for me. I'm staying right here. I'm not going anywhere. And the shriller you get, the more I'm going to love you. Now, when you're at the wrong end of a betrayal, it hurts. And I certainly don't want to make light of it. I have been at the wrong end of many betrayals. Cheating, lying, or any other breach of a relationship is a breach of trust, and that hurts. You put yourself on the line for somebody, and they take out a sledgehammer and beat your trust into a pulp. That hurts. Amen? Raise your hand if you've been hurt. You have 16 years old. Raise your hand right now. Both of them. 16-year-old don't raise a hand. Amen. You haven't been hurt, girlfriend. See me after class so I can hurt your feelings. We make ourselves vulnerable to other people, and they hurt us all the time. Yet we are not marrying perfect people, and we're not getting into relationships with perfect people. We're in relationships with very imperfect human beings. And by the way, to all you perpetrators of hurt out there who are giving this a standing ovation in your mind, these comments do not let you off the hook. What you do hurts, and it hurts badly. Yet God has given us things that we have control over, which repair relationships. Can you put that graphic back up, please, Van? What has he given us? Freedom, giving, forgiving, and the best of all, the greatest of these is unconditional love. Take a 5-minute break and we'll discuss those. Welcome back. You may be wondering what medications I am on. Unconditional love is an element of relationships, along with the elements of giving and forgiving and freedom. What is unconditional love? You know, we know that it can't be defined. Is there a definition in here somewhere? I guess it's not. Is there a missing slide? No, there's a missing slide. But unconditional love is a love that is not hindered by conditions or expectations. Unconditional love is a love that is not hindered by conditions or expectations. As a matter of fact, one of my world-famous expressions is that expectations kill relationships. Most people can't get their head wrapped around that idea. Well, if I can't expect, then what? No, it's agreements. You make agreements with people. And what do you know is going to happen right after you make an agreement with somebody? They're going to break it. So if you don't have the forgiveness element in there, you got a problem on your hands. And we really think that if we set an agreement with people and hold them accountable to it, that they're actually going to do it. They're not going to do it. Haven't you heard of the Mosaic Law? You can't hold anybody accountable to stuff. Why? Because relationships exist in the sphere of freedom. See, we got so many goofy ideas inside of us that we just adopt like little parrots because the world says it. The world gets on TV and says, it's all good, it's all good. And then the next day, it's all good. And the next thing you know, it's all good. And anything the TV says, we adopt it automatically. But you let me say something from the Word of God. Right? Love them unconditionally. How many times to forgive? 70 times 7. I don't hear anybody walking around, forgive 70 times 7. Forgive 70 times 7. I don't hear anybody adopting that. Why? It's not sexy enough. Most people can't get their heads wrapped around the idea of unconditional love because they don't consider the fact that freedom has to flow between the souls of people in a relationship. Is that what you're thinking when you get married? You're looking over at that other person and saying, we're like the oak trees who grow not in each other's shadow. And let there be spaces in our togetherness. Is that what you're saying? What you're saying, yeah, I looked over there at my wedding. I said, you're mine. Mine. You're a possession. Let freedom flow between the souls. Oh, yeah. And you don't dare verbalize that out loud, amen? Go ahead, go home today and tell your wife or your girlfriend she's a possession. If you want a little fun for the day. Freedom is an element of relationships. Can you pop that up, man? Freedom has to flow between the souls of people in relationships. And for most people, relationships are a prison. And this is the way people see it. When I go get somebody, they become mine, and now I put them in a prison. And the person with whom I am in a relationship is a puppet. And the puppet is acceptable when they are doing what I want them to do, when they are serving me, and they are a thing to be put down like a puppet when they don't move to the beat of my pull of the string. That's the way most of us look at relationships, honestly. That's what we're looking for. We're looking for the puppet who will do exactly what we want them to do. I was thinking about that a few months ago, and I was thinking, if I could create the perfect woman in my own standard of what the perfect woman is, would I want to date her? And the resounding answer that came back was, no freaking way. No, I would never want that. Why? Because freedom doesn't flow between the souls. One of the things that's great about relationships is that another person can act arbitrarily. I was watching a movie the other day called The Insider, where this guy at Brown and Williamson Tobacco Company became a whistleblower and told the fact that all of the people at Brown and Williamson was saying nicotine is not a drug and nicotine is not harmful. yet, and this guy was the head of research, and everything in the company, all the language of the company was saying that nicotine, that cigarettes are a nicotine delivery mechanism, and they should be spiced with alcohol to send the nicotine directly to the lungs, directly to spaces in the brain that create an addiction that make you want more and more and more, and that they're doing that. Ammonia. Did I say ammonia? Yeah, whatever. It's something. It's a substance, right? They're spicing it up. They're jacking it up, just like what's happening with our food, huh?
I said you smoke more when you drink alcohol.
Exactly. But is nicotine addictive? Is it a drug? Is it harmful? Absolutely it is, right? Well, this guy blows the whistle, and his wife left him. I can't do this anymore, she says. She abandoned ship because they were getting a little bit too much heat. Isn't it great to be in a relationship with someone who, when the heat comes down, they abandon you? Yet, if you aren't willing to be in a relationship where freedom flows between your souls, then marry a puppet. That's what happens in real relationships. Some people decide at a point to abandon ship. Freedom. They have the freedom to do it. How does it feel to be looking for a relationship knowing that what you're looking for is someone who does what you want them to do, when you want them to do it, the way you want them to do it, all the time, every time? How does that fantasy feel? You wonder why you don't have a relationship. You wonder why the relationships you have don't work. With this satanic approach to relationships, it's a wonder most of us have friends. Because what is a friend? For most of us, a friend is someone who agrees with everything we say. And when they don't agree with us, they're to be discarded. Wouldn't friendships go so well if we could just let other people call us up, dump all their crap on us? They call this venting. And then they hang up while we are left with the pile of garbage draped from our heads. That's what many human friendships are like. I could never understand that. In relationships with women, often, they'll talk to you, and it will be stream of consciousness. It will be monologue. And then if you want to participate, they'll say, I don't need you to say anything. I just need you to listen. Well, talk to the damn chair then. Don't talk to me. Because I don't want to participate in your monologue. I don't want to sit at the other end of you dumping all your garbage on me and not get to say anything, and that's considered wonderful. That's stupid to me. That's not a relationship. I don't want anything to do with it. And who are you to even ask anybody to actually do that? That's ridiculous. Do you think that that's the way Jesus Christ would treat you? Do you think that's the way he expects us to treat each other? Yeah, we feel perfectly comfortable asking somebody to do that, to stop everything, to listen to us pour emotions out. Do you know what it's like to be on the other end of that? And I think I've told you that. It's suffocating. Not that I'm not willing to do it, but it is suffocating. And the thing that bothers me most about it, I think, is that it doesn't go both ways. If I turned around and do that, oh my God. That's not relationships. You don't see the element of freedom, unconditional love, giving and forgiving in that. Another element of relationships is giving, not taking. What is giving? It is to present something to someone voluntarily without expecting compensation. There it is again, expectations. We give because we want to. I laugh when people ask me what I need in our relationship. Have you ever had anybody ask you that? What do you need me to do in our relationship? I laugh at that question because it's a question I would never consider asking. If you have to ask, you aren't paying attention to your relationship. Now, that doesn't mean it isn't worth asking. But generally speaking, if you have to ask, you probably aren't paying attention. I find it interesting that God would never consider asking that question. God would never come to us and say, what do you need in our relationship? Why wouldn't he do that? Because he's giving. Now, I used to ask that of my kids. I used to ask my kids, what kind of father do you think I am? And what do I need to change in my fathering? So it's not a horrible question. But I also knew exactly what I wanted to give to them. So it wasn't I was asking them to define the relationship so that I could do that. I was giving something to them. And anyway, if you ask kids that, what are they going to say to you? They're going to say the same thing. I need a juice box. What do you need from our relationship? I need a juice box. I need a snack. Because that's what kids need. God gives to us voluntarily. He leads us to victory. He protects us. He makes us secure. He offers compassion. He gives mercy. He cares. He offers wisdom. He gives us affection. He guides us. He nurtures us. He loves us. All without asking. How about you? Do you treat your relationships like that? All without asking? He comes closer to us when we hurt. He doesn't ever move farther away. How about you? If God hurt us, which he never does, he would never consider asking us what he had to do to make us feel better after he had bludgeoned us with a sledgehammer and broken our heart into a million pieces. He wouldn't ask us that. He would just fix it. He'd just go back to the beginning of the list. Victory, protection, security, compassion, mercy, caring, wisdom, affection, guidance, nurturing, love. All without asking. Giving is an element of relationships. Another element of relationship is forgiving. What is forgiving is to absolve someone of debt, to not hold an offense against someone. Hurts in relationships are inevitable. We may never forget the hurts, but we can choose not to hold the hurts we feel against the other person. We can choose to continue the relationship as we process through the hurts. Forgiving is voluntary, and it is totally under control. And isn't that neat about all of these things? Freedom, giving, forgiving, and unconditional love. They're under your control. I chuckle when people don't forgive. What a trick bag. Get this. People think forgiving is for the other person. Forgiving is for you. Imagine that you are holding something against someone and you want them to pay. You want them to make you whole, the one who hurt you in the first place. Most of the people who hurt us don't care about us, so they'd never be interested in making us whole. But if they were interested and they tried to make us whole, we wouldn't let them. We'd move the stick. We would not let them succeed at making us whole. What a phenomenal trick bag that is. How many of you are walking around today holding things against others and thinking that one day they're going to make you whole? They aren't going to. But besides that, you have no right to expect it. It's foolish. They're not going to make you whole, and you wouldn't let them. But forgiving others lets us off the hook. And we have control of it. It lets us off the hook. What hook? The hook of carrying around an 8,000-pound suitcase on our back all the time and then polluting every relationship that's meaningful with that bag of crap. It gives us a chance to release negative feelings and to start fresh. Now, if you accumulate hurts in a relationship, there is no quicker way to damage it. I can remember during the initial stages of the divorce, having my ex-wife tell me stuff that I did in the third year of our marriage with the specific month and the specific day that she remembered. But she couldn't remember to take my shirts to the cleaners every week when I was on a road trip. But she remembers something I did in the third year of our marriage, the second month, the first day. What is that called? Psychologically, it's called gunny sacking. Have you ever heard that psychological term, gunny sacking? Yeah, you guys are probably much too young for this, but a gunny sack is a burlap sack that you carry potatoes in. And psychologically, there are people who are gunny sackers, who are accumulators of hurt. And every time somebody hurts them, they walk around and they put the hurt in the gunny sack. And unfortunately, they never take out the garbage. And so every interaction with them is the big gunny sack, and they're swinging it around. Look at all the ways I've been hurt. Who cares? Honestly, who cares? We all got purple hearts. If we had purple hearts on us right now, hanging from us, medals, for all the times we've been hurt, you wouldn't even be able to see our face. Because that's what it takes to be in a relationship. You're going to get hurt. And the four things that I'm talking to you about right now, freedom and giving and forgiving and unconditional love, are the things that we need to survive the hurts, to thrive in relationships. And it's biblical. Can you even imagine if God held the sins of every person against them, what a load he'd be carrying around? Trillions and gazillions of sins that he was holding against us. The cross is looking real easy right now, isn't it? 3 hours on the cross to get all that stuff off your back, that's a good day. Turn in your Bibles to Ezekiel chapter 16. Ezekiel chapter 16. That's in the Old Testament. Ezekiel. Right after Lamentations, and just before Daniel. I never liked Daniel. He's the only guy in the Bible that I know of that never did anything wrong. I'm not hanging out with him in heaven. Daniel, get away from me. I just want to read 19 verses of this to you, and just, this is about the Jews. And so just get the theme here of God interacting with the Jews, his chosen people. It says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, and this is the Lord talking through Ezekiel to the people. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, son of man, make known to Jerusalem her abominations and say, thus says the Lord God to Jerusalem, your origin and your birth are from the land of the Canaanite. Your father was an Amorite and your mother a Hittite. And as for your birth, on the day you were born, your navel cord was not cut, nor were you washed with water for cleansing. You were not rubbed with salt or even wrapped in cloths, as a baby normally would be. No eye looked with pity on you to do any of these things for you, to have compassion on you. Rather, you were thrown out into the open field, for you were abhorred on the day you were born. And when I passed by you and saw you squirming in your blood, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. Yes, I said to you while you were in your blood, live. And I made you numerous like the plants of the field. And then you grew up, became tall, and reached the age for fine ornaments. And your breasts were formed and your hair had grown, yet you were naked and bare. And then I passed by you and saw you, and behold, you were at the time for love. So I spread my skirt over you and covered your nakedness. And I also swore to you and entered into a covenant with you so that you would become mine, declares the Lord God. Then I bathed you with water, washed off your blood from you, and anointed you with oil. And I also clothed you with embroidered cloth and put sandals of porpoise skin on your feet. And I wrapped you with fine linen, and I covered you with silk. And I adorned you with ornaments and put bracelets on your hand and a necklace around your neck. And I also put a ring in your nostril, earrings in your ears, and a beautiful crown on your head. And thus you were adorned with gold and silver, and your dress was of fine linen, silk, and embroidered cloth. And you ate fine flour and honey and oiled. And so you were exceedingly beautiful and advanced to royalty. And then your fame went forth among the nations on account of your beauty, for it was perfect. Because of my splendor, which I bestowed upon you, declares the Lord God. But you trusted in your beauty and played the harlot because of your fame. And you poured out your harlotries on every passerby who might be willing. and you took some of your clothes and made for yourself high places of various colors and played the harlot on them, which should never come about or never happen. And you also took your beautiful jewels made of my gold and my silver, which I had given you, and made for yourself male images that you might play the harlot with them, idols. And you took your embroidered cloth and covered them and offered my oil and my incense before them and also my bread, which I gave you, fine flour, oil, and honey with which I fed you. You would offer before them for a soothing aroma. And so it happens, declared the Lord. Isn't that interesting? You see the symbolism and the patterns. You were born physically alive but spiritually dead, covered in blood, worthless, out in the field. And God picked you up and offered you salvation and clothed you and gave you resources that were absolutely amazing. And then you spread your favor under every green tree. You turned your back on the one who had done all that and even turned the things that he had given you into idols. That's what we do as human beings. That's what we do with relationships. Somebody rescues us from the depths, gives us everything, and we turn on them. And you started to see in the symbolism of that, if you didn't, Satan's exact program without the first part. Because Satan was created perfect. This was about the Jews, but Satan was created perfect. He didn't have that period of time where he was all covered in blood and oil and all the rest of that stuff. He was perfect from the beginning. He had the seal of perfection. Perfect beauty, perfect genius, perfect speech. And what did he do? Profaned his sanctuary. In relationships, you can be hurt. You can do everything right. Everything wonderful, have phenomenal intentions, and be hurt. And then what? And then this. And then we realize that freedom must flow between the souls of people. Giving, forgiving, and unconditional love must be the elements, all of these within your control. These must be the elements, the things that you use to save your relationship. Things that come from the Savior of all relationships, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to stop looking at relationships with fantasy eyes, expecting that they are anything but what they are. Relationships can be magnificent, but relationships hurt. And I say, that there is no relationship that is magnificent that doesn't have hurt as a part of it. But without a Savior, relationships are pretty hard because what we bring to relationships, each one of us, what we bring to relationships is Satan's self-focus, the self-focus of the old self. And that can never sustain a relationship or make it beautiful or worthwhile. But what the Lord Jesus Christ brings to relationships, giving, forgiving, freedom, and unconditional love, those are the things that make relationships totally worthwhile. We have a relationship that will never go away. We have a relationship that will never be deficient, our relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if there's any element that is missing from those four, there is a fifth, faithfulness. And our God gives us that too. Let's close with, He is faithful.
There's a God His love and mercy I see. In my heart I've questioned, I've even failed to believe, but still my God, He's been faithful to me. When my heart looked away, the many times I've disobeyed, even still, He was faithful to me. The times that I spent so selfishly, reaching out for what pleased me, still in love, He was faithful to me. Every time I would call back to Him, He was waiting with open arms to prove once again that He is faithful, faithful to me. Looking back, His love and mercy I see. In my heart I'm questioned, I've even failed to believe, but still my God, He's been faithful.
Dang June, that's right. That's right on. I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that He might promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on His back, because God considers your problems to be His responsibility. He cares for you. Now to Him who is able to keep you from stumbling, and to make you stand in the presence of His glory blameless and with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. Almighty God and Father, thank you for relationships, and thank you for the way that they carve into our souls. Thanks for the way they chisel away at our countenance. Thank you for the way that they develop us. And sometimes, even though they may be suffering, thank you for that too. Because we know that you have a tremendous end in mind, and that is the perfect relationship for all those who are in union with you. And I pray that relationships for the people who hear this message become something that they enjoy and not something that they tolerate, and that they put the things in place that you have given them to be in complete control of how they handle their relationships. And may they control those in ways that are supportive of their mental health. Pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit. They're an accurate reflection of your love, your person, your thinking, your work, and your essence. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name, amen. Thanks for watching, thanks for listening, and thanks for coming.